Well, praise God. I've had a lot of things in life hinder me from coming to church. It's the first time I ever had somebody just standing in the middle of the road with a stop sign saying I couldn't get in. That's different. Never had that one. Never had that happen. So that was a new experience. Yeah. Hadn't even seen hardly any stop signs. We got somebody standing there telling me I can't go. Praise God. That's interesting. Well, praise the Lord. Well, anyway, tonight Tracy's going to share the word with us. And so y'all give her a hand clap. She comes up here. A big hoorah.
Good evening, everyone. It gets spread out here. I want to say a quick prayer for every person who had to work in the heat today. Who had to work in the heat today? Stand up if you had to work in the heat today. Just stand up. I just want to pray for you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you strengthen every single person, Lord, who has to work out in this heat. And I pray that you would just strengthen them in their innermost being, Lord, that it would permeate their physical bodies and that they would be strengthened by your spirit tonight, Lord. And I just pray that you just give them cool breezes and that you just bring them refreshing. And we ask you to bring us rain, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we just pray for all these workers out here on these roads. And I know it's annoying, but it's going to be amazing when it's done. And we just speak blessing over all these workers who have to stand out there in the heat, turning the sign. And we just speak blessings over them and that everyone on this road is going to be safe tonight. And just as they are working, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Okay.
Well, we had an amazing time. Yes, Frank? Yes. Oh. Congratulations. Awesome. How many?
49.
Wow, that's so fantastic.
We're still young.
Yeah, y'all don't even look like you'd be married for 49 years. Wow. You still like her? You guys are right. My mom and dad are going to be married in October, 49 years. So that is so awesome. Congratulations. Fantastic. Well, we went to Colorado on vacation, and it was amazing. It was cool. It was exactly what we ordered. It just was cool. And it rained almost every day, and we were in the mountains, and it was beautiful. And you just felt really close to God, you know, and you're up there because you get to rest and just go out. And we had this beautiful deck with this great view. And so I know that we were all on the way home. It was really hard leaving at 48 degrees by that morning. And we got, you know, down into New Mexico. It was like you open the door. It's like opening the oven door. Literally, you open the door and it's like, whew, it just blasts over you. So, you know, it's not, I really envy my mom and dad for being able to live up there for the summer. But I hope that one day that's Dwayne and I's dream, is to be able to do that ourselves, you know, be able to just leave and go spend the whole summer somewhere where it's really cool and the beautiful mountains. So anyway, but while I was there, the Lord did speak to me and, you know, just gives me a little bits here and there. But I know you guys were totally blessed by Pastor Wynn being here, weren't you? So you guys got like the rich dessert, you know, all that good stuff. And now you get to come back to the, you know, meat and potatoes and the veggies and, you know, your water, because we're going to wash with the water of the word, right? And you know, when we think about washing with the water of the word, it, you know, when you take a shower, you have to bathe yourself in the same places, always need to be cleaned over and over, right? So, you know, when you come and you hear the word, it may be something that you've heard before, but you need to hear it again. And I have a great story. I had it was last Wednesday. I had a phone call, and it was one of my friends who lives away. It was her fiance, and he called me, and he said, do you have a minute to talk? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, he said, your friend needs somebody to talk her off her ledge. And I'm like, okay, well, how come she didn't call me? He says, well, she just probably knows what you're going to tell her, but she doesn't want to hear it from me. So I told her that I was going to call you, and will you please call her? I'm like, yeah, sure, of course. I didn't know anything was going on. So I texted her and I said, hey, when you get a chance, call me. We need to talk. It wasn't a minute later. She's calling me on the phone. I said, what's going on? Nothing. Why? Why do you ask? I said, well, your fiance called me and told me that you're on a ledge. He did what? And she was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he did that. I'm like, well, he told me that he told you that it was okay if you called. So anyway, she starts spilling her guts to me about she's afraid to go into this marriage. And I don't blame her. You know, marriage is a huge commitment. And the thing that's so funny is that Pastor Wynn on Wednesday had said, remember he said that having a great marriage, you have to die to yourself. So I had a lot of really great ammunition, you know, talking to her. Well, she's a believer. She knows the word. She can quote it back to me the same way. But a lot of times when we get into a place where we're being squeezed, we don't remember. And we need to be reminded. And that's kind of what we do, is we just remind you. And so I'm just talking to her off this ledge, you know. So she's here on the ledge just about to bail, like she's moving, like she's ready to pack her trailer and move away. That's how afraid she is right now. I said, well, you can be alone and have your independence, or you can give up your independence and have companionship and love and fun and relationships. And so she's like, I know. So everything that I told her, she already knew. So anyway, you can feel her just backing away, backing away, backing away. And so the day that they were supposed to get married, Saturday, I think, I texted her and I said, how are you doing? She said, I'm great, a little edgy. I texted her back. I said, well, just rest in the Lord and just have peace about today and know that, you know, he hasn't brought you this far. He's not going to, you know, abandon you. So that was just one of the great stories I wanted to share, because when we come into church, sometimes we hear the same thing that we may have heard, or we're like, oh, I know that. But a lot of times somebody may be on the ledge and they may just need to hear something. So just bear with me if there's something that I say that I may have said 100 times. To me, when we talk about the word, and my favorite scripture is, you know, Hebrews 4:12, which is that the word of God is living and active and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to pierce, you know, it's able to pierce through different things. Well, I was sitting on the deck of our beautiful house. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning and the sun was just fixing to come up, and I was out there all by myself and I was just practicing the presence of God. I was just sitting there thinking about Jesus and like, where are you, Lord? I want to be with you right now and share something with me. And it's so funny because he reminds me of things that I already know. I'm like, well, I know that. He says, your heart or your spirit is like a sponge, but your soul is like a stone. And then that's when he gave me the scripture again. He said, but the word of God is living and it's able to pierce. And like, you know, when you think about joints and marrow, it says that it's able to divide a division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, so our soul, and the intents of your heart. So that's why the word of God is so important. That's why it's so important to just take it and meditate on it and think about it. And so some of the scriptures I was thinking about that have helped me with different things that I want to be pleasing to the Lord. And one of them is Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only words that are good for edification, that it might give grace to those who hear. Well, I was talking before I was walking. So I've always been a mouth. So I don't know if I'm a mouth in the body of Christ or what it is, but my mouth's got me in trouble a lot of times. So I realized that the Lord is wanting to hone that and to take that and to show me. And so that a scripture that he gives me is that I don't want any unwholesome words to proceed from my mouth. So when I meditate on that and I'm conscious of that, and then something comes to me that's not wholesome, well, then the word is discerning between my soul and my spirit. So the other thing he says, and there's this, it's a little poem that I learned a long time ago, and I know you guys have heard it because I've said it a lot. It says, Two natures beat within my breast. One is cursed and the other is blessed. The one I love, the other I hate, but the one I feed will dominate. So it's whatever we're going to feed on, whatever we're chewing on, whatever we're thinking about, that's what you're feeding. If you're going to feed your soul, that soul man part of you, then that's what's going to get bigger and stronger in your life. But if you take the word, and that's why I really wanted to share that scripture, just that you guys would be strengthened with might in your innermost being. Because when your inner man is strengthened, it will affect your physical body. And you know that to be true when you're weary and you're tired, but you just spend a few moments in prayer, you're strengthened physically to be able to go on and to carry on. Is that right? And then Colossians 3. I remember the last time I was up here, it's like, I remember Lonnie said I was like shotgunning, just like boom, 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 and we can't keep up. So I'm going to try to go slower and just share a little slower with you about these. But this one was Colossians 3. I think it's 3. Bear with me. Let's see, it says, put on mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So, Pastor's message Sunday about living the kingdom life is really, it's all about sowing to your spirit. And that's when you come to church, you're sowing to your spirit. So whatever your motivation is for being here tonight, to just be in the presence of God, to be refreshed, you are sowing to your spirit by being here tonight. You're hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing the word, right? And then we sing this awesome song about having more love and more power. Well, the Bible says that faith worketh by love. And then Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So it's not like something you even have to muster up. If you are born again, God has shed his love abroad in your heart by his spirit. So you have love. He said, I've given you a measure of faith. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. So all you need to do is just hear the word of God and then you apply it to your life. How do we apply it to our life? Well, if it says to do something, then you should do it. Now, Trenton is fixing to be 16 months old, and I found these little cassette tapes that I had when the boys were, and I thought, I'm going to save these, right? Cassette tapes, people. They're yellow. They're all from Hosanna. They're all about kids and singing these songs that are made from the Word of God. So anyway, do you know how hard it is to find a tape player for a cassette tape? So I called my mom. Mom? She's a pack rat. Mom, would you happen to have a cassette player anywhere? She's like, well, I've got one of those Walkmans. I'm like, that'll work. Well, then she said, no, I remember I had one at the office and it's under the thing. So anyway, I found it. And I had him last week and I had him at the office because I needed to be there. And it was on a Thursday. And so I took this little tape out and I stuck it in there, you know, pushed the button and it played. And so it's, I mean, seriously, it's probably 20 years old. And so, but it played. And one of the songs that was on there was, it says, I'm not going to sing it, but it says, I like the Bible. I like the Bible because I read it and I do it. I read it and I do it. And that's kind of what the whole gist of the whole thing is. I like the Bible. I like the Bible because I read it and I do it. You know, that kind of thing. And so Trenton was just because it's dancing, so he's dancing around. I'm like, I need a better cassette player. I want to be able to get all of these because it's all the word. We just listen to the whole thing and it's just like little tiny scriptures put to music. And don't you know kids love music? And how many of you know that a song will stick in your head forever? Like Dwayne and I don't remember, we were in the truck listening to his Sirius radio and a song came on that I have not heard literally since I was in my dad's, I don't know what year that truck was, but Ford, I was less than 10 because we lived in Colorado, so less than 10 years old. And it was Donna Fargo's I'm the Happiest Girl in the Whole USA. And this came on at, I'm 47, it came on in this truck, and I could sing every word, is that right? Verbatim, from the time I was probably 9 or 10 years old. It sticks with you. So that's why it's important. What are you listening to? especially when it comes to music, because it has such an impact on your life and on your soul. It's stuck in there. And there's some of those songs from the 80s when I was a teenager, you know, and they'll pop on. I'll hear it somewhere. We'll be in a department store or something. And you just go along and you're singing the whole song right there. It's like, you know it. I haven't heard it in ages, but here it is. So my encouragement to you is really just to get in the Word. You know, we talked about the last time, 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. But it's against the things that come to our mind. Remember, it's the carnal things. And it's not so much we're worried about the devil. The devil is a distractor. He just wants to distract you. And Haley Canales was teaching Sunday school, and I'm so sorry that I've missed her teachings. I wish they were recorded, because she did such a great job Sunday morning, and she just is a little teacher. And she just stirred up, you know, when you're with somebody who can really teach, you know, they just stir you up. Pastor Sunday morning, he just got me all stirred up, you know, with his teaching. And Haley, when she was, let's see if I think I may even wrote it down. She was such an encouragement. She was talking about growing in godly character and the fruit of the Spirit. And I was thinking about, so while she's talking about this stuff, you know, the Lord's reminding me of things, you know, in my own life about developing fruit. And how do you develop fruit? Well, I have this beautiful bougainvillea. And as long as you water it, it is amazing. Now, I do feed it. I put those little sprinkle things, you know, in it, but it's not something I'm conscious. I just do it once. But as long as you water it, Dixie saw it Saturday, and it is just going crazy. It is root bound. I mean, if you were to lift it up out of its pot, it probably would have, I don't know, maybe a cup of dirt in it, but it just loves water. And if you want to bear fruit, all you need to do is just wash with the water of the Word. You will grow in every single fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. I mean, they all meld together, and they all work together. Just like God's working in you to willing to do His good pleasure. The one thing that God showed me while we were in Colorado is like, I want you to rest. I want you to breathe. I know that sounds funny. But you know, when you have a lot of things going on in your life, and I think just because we have such a busy lifestyle, I mean, most everybody here does it. We're on the racetrack, like the little mouse on the wheel. And we are shallow breathers. And the Lord just showed me that when you just will stop and take a deep breath and just let it out, how much better you'll feel. You're just not getting oxygen to your brain. You know, a lot of times we're yawning, and it's because you're not getting oxygen to your brain. And the Lord says, I want you to rest in me. This whole time that you're gone, I just don't want you to think about anything. I don't want you to fret about anything. If you start fretting about it, I just want you to let it go. Just let it go. So I didn't realize how much I fretted. And you know, it says in Psalms, I can't remember exactly where it is, but it says, do not fret, it only causes harm. And he reminded me that all the time. Do not fret, it only causes harm. So I would get an email, and I was doing a little bit of work on, you know, while I was on vacation, and I would get an email, and immediately I could feel it. It's like, okay, do not fret. You can breathe now. And so I just made it an effort every morning when I woke up. I was just going to lay in bed, and I was just going to practice breathing. I know that sounds crazy, right? I work out every day. You know, you think, oh, whatever. But I started doing that. And in Colorado, you know, the altitude, we were at 8,100 feet, and breathing's a little more difficult. You can definitely tell, right? You can definitely tell. You're like, you're really trying to have it suck it in a little bit more, because there's not as much air as it is down here at sea level. We could definitely feel a difference. So I just laid in bed, and I just started taking really deep breaths as much as I could. And I noticed that after like 4 breaths, I could breathe more. And it was like the more I did it, the more I could breathe. And that's what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to just do a little bit and then Once you've done just a little bit, you're able to do a little bit more. He says, I don't want you to take a big chunk out of it. Just take a little tiny taste. That just reminds me of Trent with an apple. He loves to have the whole apple. He doesn't want you to cut it. He doesn't want anything. He wants the whole thing. And he wants to just sit there. And he will go, didn't he go like over an hour just walking around with an apple, just taking little tiny, tiny bites out of it? But you know what? After a while, guess what? He ate the whole apple. It's kind of like eating an elephant. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? And so that's how it is with this. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with this, but, you know, pastors made it so easy. He created the, you know, praying the word, God's promises. I mean, they're just right there. Find out what it is that you want to grow in. What fruit needs to be developed in your life? Well, that's where you start watering it. You find those scriptures, and those scriptures water that. And then guess what? What comes out of that? When that bougainvillea got so full and everything was in there, all of a sudden, when I left for vacation, it had very little blooms on it. I mean, I was like, okay, Shaylee took care of our place, and I said, just make sure you keep this watered. And when I got home, it looked like bubbles of beautiful pink flowers all over the place. I'm like, you took good care of my plants. You watered them every single day. And so that's what the Lord wants us to do. He just wants us to water it every day. And it doesn't take a lot. You could waterlog them. I mean, if I watered it too much, it would waterlog it, right? We would get overwhelmed. But the Lord just wants us to just do a little bit every single day. Okay. So, the only other thing I was thinking about was the motivational gifts, because the Lord, you know, is talking about exhortation, and the Lord says, I just want you to exhort the people, because that's what the gift is on the inside of me. It's just like to be a cheerleader. So just to be an exhorter. So I just want to encourage you to find out what your gift is. What is your motivation? You know, and you can find out about the motivational gifts in Romans 12, and just find out what it is. Are you a person who loves to serve? Are you a person who loves to show mercy? Are you a person who likes to administrate? Whatever it is, he says, do it as unto the Lord, and the Lord will cause it to grow. So I know that with me, you know, for me to stand up here, it's just such an honor to be able to share with you the things that the Lord has given me. And I just never dreamed in a million years that I would ever be doing anything like this, but I'm thrilled to be able to be an instrument of the Lord, and I pray that it blesses you and just the little bits that you get, a little nourishment, a little bit of washing with the water of the word, and you can go on about the rest of your week and be encouraged and crack open your Bible and let the Lord speak to you. One of the things I was thinking about today was just practicing the presence of God, and that's what we did today, you know, when we were worshiping him, and just what we learned to do, I don't know, years and years ago with Sister Annie, just learning to get in God's presence, and it's so simple. You have to remember that it's not a monologue. It's not just a one-sided thing. It's a dialogue, and a lot of times you have to be still, and you have to be quiet. And you have to listen. And a lot of times what I do, and I've done this with my friends, is you just can ask the Lord, just close your eyes and say, where are you right now? Because I want to be where you are. And there's an old song, and it says, I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table. And that's when you want to hear from the Lord, just find a quiet place and say, and just ask him, Lord, where are you? I want to be where you are right now. And it's amazing the things that he will speak to you when you just listen. Because a lot of times I found myself, blah, 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 and then I get up and I go. And the Lord's like, excuse me, like I'll be on the road to work. He's like, excuse me, I had something to say to you. Like, let's see. Okay, Lord, hold on just a second. So I get to work and I just, before I ever get out, because, you know, once you get rolling, you're done. I mean, once the door opens, you're history. So I would pull off. As soon as I got to work, I would just sit there. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Where are you at right now? Because I want to be with you. I don't really want to be at work right now. So you can go ahead and tell me. what it is you want me to tell me. Sometimes I don't hear anything. I should have just stayed in that place for just a couple more minutes so he could speak to me. And then the other night, right before I go to bed, he speaks to me. And sometimes the first thing when I wake up in the morning, he speaks to me, because that's the time when your brain isn't going a million miles an hour. So he said something to me last night. And what is it that we think that we're going to remember it the next morning? I can't tell you how many times I've done that. I need to get up and write it down right then. And I even knew that. I had my pen and my notebook sitting right by my bed because I'd just been reading it that morning. And it was sitting right there. And I convinced myself, you'll remember that. That was so good. You're going to remember that in the morning. And I woke up the next morning. It was gone. I cannot grasp it. I'm sitting there trying to think. It was such a great, amazing revelation. It's like, should have wrote it down. So if you get something like that, I'm encouraging you, write it down. Okay? All right. Who's going to do the offering? Honey? My honey? Thanks, you guys, for coming out tonight and battling all the traffic.
Good job, hon. Huh?